changes everything, doesn't he? Just the way you even see death. I mean, that song says, "When I die, hallelujah." Hallelujah. I mean, most of the world is like doing everything they can. Not when I die, hallelujah, I'm going to fly away. People are like, no, when you die, you go down in the ground. You don't go up. Little do you know, you don't know anything. When you're a Christian, that's exactly what you get to do. Death is not a defeat. Death is already defeated, so we have victory in him no matter what happens. And so I love being a follower of Jesus. I don't know about you, but every day I'm so thankful that he revealed his love to me. And that he called me out of darkness into his glorious light. Every day, I'm so thankful that he didn't look upon me and say, well, you're one of the best ones out there. I'm going to choose you. But he looked at me and he said, boy, you are messed up. I want you. Because the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says he chooses the foolish things of this world. Man, I love it. Look in the mirror and go, I am such a foolish thing of this world. And God says, yep, and I'm going to use you. And it's so amazing to be a follower of Jesus. I would never want to go back to Egypt, to what was back there behind us. So, all right, well, that's not my notes. I just was inspired by I'll Fly Away. Thank you, Diana. The title of my message today is In Step with the Spirit 2. Last Sunday, we looked at the Apostle Paul's journey to Jerusalem after the completion of his third missionary tour. But what we really witnessed was not just this journey back to Jerusalem. We really witnessed the adventure of him walking in step with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 21 through 26, we saw that when a person chooses to be led by the Spirit, when the person chooses to be in the will of Christ, they will experience opportunities that they otherwise would have missed. And we saw that last week. If you weren't here for last week, then see that. There's more information last week. You can watch that. We counted at least six major gospel-sharing opportunities that the Apostle Paul had because he walked in step with the Spirit. At least six. I only talked about six. There's so many more that happened after he was sent to Rome. Six gospel-sharing opportunities that he had. Even though others warned him not to go back to Jerusalem, Paul knew that was exactly what the Spirit was leading him, what God was leading him to do. And that brings us to the first observation that we made last week about the Apostle Paul. Specifically, when we choose to be in step with the Spirit, not everyone's going to understand. Not everyone's going to get that. They're not going to understand, especially not the world. But even we looked at last week that even followers of Christ aren't going to understand what we're doing sometimes. And I wonder this week as I was looking back at that, I wonder if this is what the Apostle Paul had in his mind when he spoke about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Isn't that interesting? Like the things of God are absolutely foolishness to the natural mind, folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There is a decidedly different, almost opposite perspective between the natural and the spiritual minds. You could like just grab that for a minute. There is a completely different perspective, almost even an opposite perspective between those who live by the natural mind and those who live by the spiritual. The natural mind can focus on a multitude of things, can be fixated in any number of different directions, but the Holy Spirit is much more focused. Which leads us to the final point of last Sunday's message that I never got to, but we're going to start this message with the final point from last week. And that is number three. See, we're going to start off with number three. Number three is that when we are led or we walk in step with the Spirit, we find that he has a single-minded focus. The Spirit of God has a single-minded focus. Think back to Paul's situation last week and all that we talked about. What did we learn happened to him in those five chapters of Acts? Do you remember any of the things? Well, I guess. All right, well, let's just start at chapter 21. We'll just read through it. No. You remember the rumors that were being spread about him? He came back and James was the leader of the Jerusalem church was telling them all these rumors were being spread. How about the riot? You know, those are memorable, the riot that happened. He was thrown into prison, the threats that came upon him. 2 years he waited in jail under the governor who didn't do anything about it. And then he appealed to Caesar, and then he went to trial. All these different things. Now think about all of that stuff. Think about all the goals that could be frustrated by that predicament. I mean, if Paul did what I do every day and he got his planner out and he did his to-do list, this could be a frustrating day for him. All of those things just were not on the plan. I mean, it's hard to get anything accomplished when you're going from riot to riot, lockup to lockup, trial to trial. Most to-do lists don't get accomplished in prison, right? Maybe some of you need to try a to-do list. They don't work out very well when you're stuck in jail. I mean, talk about an interruption to his schedule, an obstacle to his five-year plan. It's like, God, this was not in my five-year plan. Go to jail. And some of you say, well, Apostle Paul, he just wasn't a very goal-oriented person. The Apostle Paul wasn't one of those type A people. Are you kidding me? Read the letters that Paul wrote. Look at the book. I mean, Paul was an incredibly driven, even to annoyance sometimes, and he annoyed other people because he was such a driven person. But guess what? There was someone who drove him more than himself. Someone else. Listen to me this morning. Choosing to walk in step with the Spirit can be frustrating or it can be liberating. You hear that? Choosing to walk in step with the Spirit can be either frustrating or liberating. It all depends on whose agenda we need to follow, whose list we need to check off, whose plan we need to enact. See, Paul could tolerate the inconveniences and interruptions because he knew something that I often forget. I probably forget it every day. That interruptions are often part of the plan. Did you hear me? Interruptions are often part of the plan. And often these Spirit-led meetings get God's work done better than all our planning. Oh, that hurts a planner like myself. Y'all know that's who I am. Often what those interruptions and inconveniences that the Spirit places in our lives are actually getting God's work done way better than we would have had it done if we did it all ourselves. You see, those led by the Spirit know that the Spirit, that He has a single-minded focus, and it's not always the same as ours. Listen to, and we're going to spend some time today as we're closing out last week's message, going into 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read for you what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 23 first, and then chapter 2. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing. Paul knew a lot. Paul was a highly educated man. A Pharisee, had memorized at least the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. But he said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The single-minded focus of the Holy Spirit is the same as the Apostle Paul's, to share the gospel and draw people to Christ. It's interesting how we talk about, I want to know God's will for my life. Well, it's to share the gospel and to draw people to Christ. Pastor, that doesn't help. Yep. That is the overriding, single-minded focus of the Spirit. And one who is in step with the Spirit will, if you don't follow that, you will constantly come into conflict in your spirit with what God is trying to do. Constantly trying to get your things accomplished when the Spirit's going, yeah, that's good, but I want to take you this way today. And usually those days we get to the end and go, I didn't get anything accomplished, and the Holy Spirit's just going, Yeah, your checklist looked pretty puny, but you follow the Spirit and His checklist looks great. Listen to what Jesus said about the Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus said this about the Spirit in John 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And listen, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me, Jesus, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. What is the job of the Spirit? It's all about representing Jesus and working in our lives and what Jesus wants to do. Sometimes it means our agendas will be subverted to fulfill His. And that can either be liberating or frustrating, all depending on whose will we need to see accomplished. Are you following me today? Like, as a follower of Jesus, trying to become one. Now, you can be a follower of Jesus and not be in step with the Spirit, because we're not saved by being in step with the Spirit. We're saved by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. We're saved by that gift. But you can live pretty miserable as a Christian fighting the Spirit every day. I have tried it numerous times, probably even today. And then I get reminded, Rick, this can either be very frustrating for you or this can be very liberating for you, all depending on who's in charge. Literally the country song, Jesus. Now, I wouldn't advise that in literal traffic in Billings. I think Jesus' will in the Spirit is that you hold on to the will. Use the signal. They put those in cars for a reason. See, listen, Paul was along for the ride because God was driving and he trusted his navigation. Oh my goodness. Paul said, okay, God, I'm trusting your navigation. Man, this is hitting me like, oh, that's why God's been doing things this way in my life. He's trying to get me to trust his navigation. He's trying to get even Pastor Rick to be in step with the Spirit. Yeah. Can we trust the Spirit enough to allow Him to have the wheel? That He will bring us wherever Jesus wants us to go? That the goal is to reach those who are far from God, so much so that He may send us somewhere out of our plans just to share with one, just to pray with one, just to reach one. If you want to be someone in step with the Spirit, you need to realize He is going to mess up your agenda sometimes, because He's going to know that God has placed you in a specific situation to touch somebody's life, and you've got the checklist, and you've got to get back to the office, and you've got to get back. He's like, no. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, of an evangelist, powerful evangelist named Philip. In the Chosen movie, probably one of my favorite people, how they depict Philip in the Chosen series. If you haven't seen that, and Philip was a powerful evangelist, a disciple of John before he became a disciple of Jesus. And Philip in the book of Acts, chapter 8, is told, I want you to go to the southern road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay. And what does Philip do? He goes to the southern road that leads to Gaza, because that's what the Spirit said to do. The Spirit didn't say what was going to happen. He just said, go to the road. That's the whole faith thing, right? You ever notice, like, God could tell us everything, but He wants us to walk by faith? So He's helping us to exercise that faith muscle so that it gets stronger, right? And He says, Philip, go. And on the way, Philip runs into an Ethiopian official. He's called the Ethiopian eunuch. He's an official of, I think it's Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, and he's going that direction, and he just so happens to be reading from the book of Isaiah. Just so happens. As Philip approaches, he begins to hear this man reading from the book of Isaiah, and it all turns out into this thing that Philip joins him, and the man begins to ask, is the prophet Isaiah speaking of himself, or is he speaking of someone else? And he begins to open the Word, the Old Testament, begins to open it up to this man and this Ethiopian official who's going back to his queen, coming from Jerusalem, obviously hungry for the things of God, gets baptized, and that's really kind of cool because it's the first time that teleportation happened. Like, God just zipped him. Star Trek copied the Bible, right? Just zips him out of there, and he's gone. And all of this stuff for one person that the Spirit led him to. Let me tell you, some of you are like, well, the Ethiopian official probably went back and shared the gospel with a lot of people and probably had a huge impact, and really history tells us that he did have a big impact. How do you know the gas station attendant isn't the same person? We don't. Because we don't know the end, right? We just know the start. And so the Spirit says, trust me. The Apostle Paul understood the single-minded focus of the Spirit. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 this very thing. And follow with me. This understanding made all the difference through all the trials and tribulations that Paul went through. He realized that he was one who was not in control. He was one that the Spirit was in control. You read the book of Acts, there's times that Paul went to go preach to a certain group of people and the Spirit stopped them. Now, did the Spirit come down and like punch him in the chest and told him? No, the Spirit spoke to him. Paul still could have went, but he was in step with the Spirit. So he stopped and he did what the Spirit was speaking. And so this understanding helped shape the Apostle Paul and helped make his life not frustrating but liberating. When we see all of life's circumstances as a path to redemption, not comfort, not the American dream, not success, not temporary things, but we see all life's circumstances as a path to redemption, the Spirit is leading in us. It makes it much more easy for us to live life because we're not like, I didn't see that coming. Well, you don't have to. The Spirit did. And we gain strength, and we gain understanding, and we gain purpose. All the things that have, all things work together for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise of God's Word. When you're in step with the Spirit, even if it doesn't go your way, it's okay. It's better than okay. He's got it. Boy, this is a new level of trust and faith, right? It's one thing, God, I trust you for my eternity, but do I trust you for my today? Do I trust you that even this crazy stuff I'm going through, is God doing something? Okay, I'm preaching this really hard because I'm preaching to myself, okay? Like I want to get down and sit there and go, I need this. Thank you, Pastor. Now, as important as it is for us to be in step with the Spirit, it is not our factory setting. It is not our, natural is where is our default, right? Natural is our default, not spiritual. And when I say our, I mean our, me included. Our natural, doing the natural, thinking the natural, that's where our minds go. I mean, just listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians after he spoke so much, and we'll read this shortly, about walking and being in step with the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says this. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. Are they Christians? Absolutely. This is a church he's writing to. These are Christians. But he's saying, I can't address you as spiritual people. I can only address you as fleshly people in the natural. He says, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now, you are still not ready. That's not a compliment. You need to grow up. He is saying, you need to grow up, right? That's what he's saying. For you are still of the flesh. You're still in the natural. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you're not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way. You're just doing your natural setting. That's what he's telling them. And we can have the same problem as the Corinthians did. We can go to church, we can be Christians, and yet still have minds that lack the Holy Spirit's single-minded focus. And that is always the rub in following the Spirit. It's always a rub in being led by the Spirit. Listen to this. If we can't share His focus, we'll struggle keeping in His steps. Let me read that again. If we can't share His focus, we'll struggle keeping in His steps because our minds are always natural and flesh, just like the Corinthians. We're going this way, and the Spirit is going this way, and that's the rub. We're always going to struggle with that until we're able to get our minds set on him. And I want you to know, you want to be in step with the Spirit. You want to hear the 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read it, and then actually, I'm not going to read it all in one thing. I'm going to give you those, and then we'll save some time by just reading them as we go. Because in this passage, the Apostle Paul is giving us warnings, and he's also giving us blessings. He's letting us know that if we are going to be in step with the Spirit, that there is a carnal, natural side of us that will not understand. Okay, are you there? There's a carnal, natural side of you that's not going to understand. When God tells you something that doesn't make sense, that's okay. You're not going to understand it. How many of you have ever heard a word preached, either from me or someone else? Hopefully not every week. But you hear a word preached, and you feel this fight inside of you. Like you're like, oh. Well, some of you get mad at me, right? How dare he meddle? You know what I mean? Some of you get mad at me. But, you know, and some of you get mad at your spouse, or you kick the dog when you get home. I don't know, but you're mad. You know why you're mad? Because there's this fight going on inside of you. I've often told people, someone told me years and years ago, that there's two German shepherds inside of us. And the one you feed is the one that will win. One's called spirit, one's called flesh, right? And we're in that conflict. And so that's the carnal side. And Paul is saying, he's warning us, that carnal side is going to fight. But he's also letting us know, when you give the spiritual side authority, when you let the Holy Spirit have reign in your life, and trust me, we often think Paul never fought with this. But he actually says in Scripture, he wrote, the things I want to do, I don't do. That's like golf, right? Like we're all, yesterday we're like, if we go right here, we're going to be right, we're going to be good. So tell me why every time Matt hits the ball, it goes over there. I mean, so much. Man, you really get to know people on the golf course. And I tell you, these three men are men of God. They are, maybe more. So let's look at this, because we have to learn, if I give the Spirit reign, what's going to happen? I'm going to give you some promises that the Word brings out. And it's all found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the first one is this. If you will be in step with the Spirit, if we will be in step with the Spirit, number one, we experience heaven on earth. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to jump to verse 9. Says this. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Okay, listen to this. Most of the time when I've heard verse 9, I've heard it applied to the same thing you've heard it applied to, heaven. Right? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, entered the mind of man, what God has prepared. That's really not the context of this passage. This passage isn't really talking about heaven. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about now. Listen, we often go, man, I can't wait till I get to heaven because eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. That's not what the passage is saying. The passage is saying, guess what? God has good, amazing stuff prepared for us then, but he has amazing stuff prepared for us now. Right now. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. See, you're not just going to enter the kingdom. You are in the kingdom. When Jesus came to this planet and he delivered his Spirit to his people, we are called into the, we're in the kingdom. You're like, I don't like this kingdom. Well, it's going to get better. But this is the thing. Don't hold on. The kingdom is now. The Spirit wants to give us, put things in our lives that are, eye has not seen or ear has heard what God has prepared, or entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. That is a now thing. The Spirit is not just a guarantee and a down payment for heaven's promises, Ephesians 1:14. He is here to bring heaven to earth. And folks, that is not just for the first century church. Are you kidding me? That is not just for the first century church. How cruel would that be for God to send his Spirit and do amazing things for one century and leave the rest of us to just squall? No, folks. I'll go on. Part of that is found in the next verse 10 through 12. Hear this. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Are you following that? Wow, talk about boom, mind-blowing. Did you hear what that said? The Spirit searches out everything, even the deep things of God, and He then makes those things known to us. Did you get that? Like, the deep things of God, not just the surface, I'll tell you, we would drown in the surface level stuff of God. The deep things of God. God can speak things into the person who is in step with the Spirit that no one in this world has ever even had concept of. I love it when science and archaeology and all these different things catch up with the Bible. They spend decades and centuries telling us the Bible's wrong, and then they find something and go, oh. And I believe it's going to keep coming until Jesus comes. Because He created this word, and the word of God is above any word of man. They call it foolishness until it's proved true. Wow, the deep things of God. There is an understanding available to those who have the Spirit that is beyond anything or anyone has ever known. But catch this, it's not us, it's the Spirit. We don't walk around going, yeah, I'm the best, I know it. No, you don't know anything, neither do I. But we have access by the Spirit into the knowledge of God, which means we can know pretty much just about everything when God wants to bring it to us. And this isn't just for any just casual, I go to church every once in a while, casual observer, casual worshiper. This is for the person who is in step with the Spirit. And I want to say this to us, because I'm hoping it's us. I don't want to say them, but to us, this prayer comes true. Ephesians 1, 16 and 17. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you've been a Christian all your life and you're 95 years old, you still haven't even touched the surface of who God is. And I'm going to clue you all in. You're going to be in heaven for a million years. We don't really count. Who cares what a year is when we're there, right? We still won't even scratch the surface. Number three, and I forgot to tell you there are six benefits, so you're halfway there. You didn't even know it. Number three is the Spirit can teach or impart through us spiritual truths. Verse 13, and we impart this, so he's talking about all the depths and the wisdom that God has. He says, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Listen to this. This is bad when people get too smart, right? And we start trying to take what God tells us and we mix human wisdom with God's wisdom. And it's just a nasty mess. And preachers are doing it all the time. I pray that God, if I do it, can love me enough to rebuke me. Because you don't need all my opinions. You need this. Like when I have people come to counseling, I'm like, I just want you to know I'm a biblical counselor. Which means I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Now, are there other things that can come along? Yeah, but it's interesting how they line up with the wisdom of the Spirit. Listen to what I just read. The Spirit, not only do we learn from the Spirit, but He teaches through us. And I hope you've experienced, it's amazing how we can speak words of life and power, and they come out of our mouths, and we go, where'd that come from? But the Spirit can impart those things through us, life-changing moments that come from our mouths. And we speak those into people's lives. And we're changed just as much as they're. It happens to me regularly on Sunday morning. Just happened to me a few minutes ago. You're like, oh. The Spirit speaks those things through us. And let me tell you, it's not just for preachers. It's for moms. It's for dads. It's for employers. It's for people pumping their gas. It's for every follower in step with the Spirit. He will speak, impart things from us. And it's not for just for preachers, and it's not just for in church. The Spirit will impart things through us. Number four, we can have spiritual discernment and make right judgments. Verse 14 and 15. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Check that out. Because it's easy to be fooled by devious people, by clever marketing and media and by the devil. I mean, it's easy to be fooled. I mean, half the time I'm like, could someone just tell me the full truth? Because I don't even know what's going on around here. Everybody wants to give the peace that meets their agenda. Just give us the whole thing so we can make a right decision, okay? Because we're not children, we're adults. We can figure things out for ourselves. Just give us the whole thing. It's so easy to be deceived, but Paul wrote, the one who is in step with the Spirit can understand spiritual things, and you catch that, and can judge all things. I'm just going to throw this out here. When you don't know and you don't understand, you need to ask the Spirit. God, I don't know what's going on in our world. Well, ask the Spirit. I don't know what's going on in the schools. Ask the Spirit. Well, will he tell you? Yeah, if you seek him, he's going to speak to you and give you clarity of thought. He will bring you and reveal the truth to you. It's interesting. It says we can judge all things. When we are walking in step with the Spirit, we can judge, which the word in the Greek often used for judge is krino. It's judge, prefer, and decide. So it's also we can decide. We can make a decision about things that we couldn't before. We can decide upon all things because it's in the Spirit. I believe that God will help you pick out the right car. He did it for me. We started our car search, and I said, God, we want the right car at the right time. And it was the weirdest thing. We were going to car lots, and there was no salesman there. We went to one car lot, there was no salesman there. Walked in the door, and they go, there's no salesman here. Like, we can't help you. I'm like, okay, apparently you don't want to sell a car. We went to another car lot. We went online and looked at this. Went to another car lot. They were closed. It's hard to sell cars when you're closed. We finally went to another car lot, pulled into that car lot, saw a car, talked to the guy. The guy had tattoos all over him. I was like, oh, that's nothing wrong with that, right? But it just doesn't really. Found out he's a missionary's kid. His other salesman came out. I knew the guy from Helena. I'm like, well, this is interesting. Sold us a car for $1,200 below Blue Book. Am I speaking out faith and word? Yeah, I prayed and said, God, we want to buy the right car that you want us to buy. Guide us by your Spirit. God cares what car you buy. I don't know. I'm getting the tingles about it for me, but he'll do it for you. What school am I supposed to go to? What branch of the service am I supposed to go to? Where? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Invite him. Invite him. Oh, this is good, folks. We have the mind of Christ. Okay. Like, I would not believe 1 Corinthians chapter 2 if it wasn't in the Bible. Like it says, we can know the deep things of God. We can discern and make right judgments. And then he just blows us off the page with the last verse. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? That actually comes from Isaiah 40, verse 13. But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's not a rhetorical, that question's a kind of a rhetorical question. Who has known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? No one. Like when they're, the only know-it-all there is God, is Jesus, right? That's the only one. He doesn't need an instructor. No one needs an instructor. But what this is telling us is that we have access in the Spirit to the very mind of Christ. Sometimes we're like, how do I, what does Christ want us to do? You know what? Get in step with the Spirit, and He will show you how Jesus walked. He will show you how to please Jesus. He will show you how to do what's right. When we're in step with the Spirit is not going to lead us into a wrong place. And we have access to the mind of Christ. We can really say, how would Jesus respond to this Spirit? How, Holy Spirit, come and teach me how Jesus would respond to this. And He will. Man, some of you students, when you get stuck on a test, you need to pray. Now, if you didn't study, I'm not saying God's going to give you the answer. You didn't study. I have been there. God, I studied hard. My head hurts so bad. I can't even remember this. What is this? Am I trying to make you see that being in step with the Spirit is both a practical and a spiritual thing? Yes, I am. I'm trying to help you see that we don't live on two separate planes. It's one plane combined. It's the natural and it's the physical. It's the spiritual and the physical. We live in both. You don't have to get away for 3 weeks to be with Jesus and then come back and be with the world. You can walk in this world and be not of this world. And the Spirit can guide you in everything. If you're frustrated, pray. If you don't know, ask the Spirit. Literally, I had a crisis that's not a crisis anymore, thank God. But I had something going on in my life Monday that took almost all of Monday to work on. And Tuesday is my study day. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to study and deal with this. And I felt the Spirit say, give me a day. If you know me. Like if there's a crisis, I'm going to give it a whole day. I'm like, God, I can't give it a day. I'm not going to be able to think about the sermon. He said, give me a day. In the middle of my sermon prep of this message, my face is in my hands going, this is terrible. Maybe you feel that way now. I don't know. But this is terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do with this mess. And I get a text message from my son asking me how the crisis situation is going. Well, the sermon ain't going very good. So I'm going to drop this and go finish with the crisis. And the Spirit said to me, give me a day. So I'm glad to say I was obedient. And I went back. I ate lunch. Sometimes it's a good thing to do when studying isn't going well. Eat lunch. I ate lunch, picked up everything again. Okay, God, what do you want me to say in this? The next 4 hours were like, just the windows opened. The next day, that problem was still there, by the way. I talked to three of the nicest people in government I have ever talked to in my life. I've never talked to an incredibly nice person in government in my life. If you work in government, just be nice sometimes. I know people don't be nice to you, but just shock them and be nice. I talked to three separate people in government. And each one of them went out of their way. They were kind. They were compassionate. They went out of their way to make sure that this problem got solved. Now, I don't know if Tuesday they would have been working. I don't know how it would have worked out Tuesday. Maybe you're a pessimist and you're like, oh, it would have worked out the same. But I just have a feeling that the Spirit told me to hold off for a day because He had the right people in the right place at the right time. And they might not have been there if I was walking in the rick. We read it last week. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the lust of the flesh? It's anything that takes us to the flesh. It's not just a sexual thing. It can be what I wanted to solve a problem. It could be what you want to finish. But the Spirit says, can I just tell you something? If the Spirit says, give me a day, give Him the day. God can do more in 1 second than we can in hours of worry. Give Him the day. Now, it's funny, as a human being going through this, it wasn't fun. I wouldn't like to repeat what happened the first half of last whatever. But I'm standing before you being able to speak something to you, not from a book I read, but from a very real experience that just happened to me last week. and I didn't even know I was going to talk about it till right now. When the Bible says he loves us, it's not a joke. It's not just for eternity. He loves you right now in what you're going through. I encourage you today to be in step with the Spirit. May not be your timing, may not be your agenda. It's going to be a whole lot better. So I close with this. How do we stay in step with the Spirit? Maybe I should have started with that, right? I need to convince you this is a good idea. How do we stay in step with the Spirit? I'm going to shock you with something you've never heard before. That's not true. Ask, seek, knock. Let me read for you a passage you're very familiar with, or some of you are familiar with, but maybe you didn't know the full context. You want to be in step with the Spirit? Ask, seek, knock. Luke chapter 11 says this, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." We stop right there. Don't stop. Keep going. "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will open." Okay, we stop there. Don't stop there. "What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil," let's just face it, compared to God, none of us are good, none of us are righteous, right? That's what it's saying. "You then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That ask, seek, knock stuff that's in Luke chapter 11 is not about a new Mercedes-Benz. You wouldn't want to pay the taxes and insurance on that anyway. It's not about that. It's about the Holy Spirit. Did you read the context? Ask, seek, and knock, and your Father will give you the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to give you something a little more. You ready? After you ask, seek, and knock, you need to apply this. Listen. How many of your kids have come to you and asked you a question, and they went to dad instead, or they went, you know, somewhere else, like, "Mom, can I eat 3 candy bars?" "No." "Dad!" Right? Listen. Follow. Surrender. And obey. Listen, follow, surrender, and obey. Why did I choose the word surrender? Because most of you don't like it. But really, literally, that's what I did Tuesday morning. I surrendered my desire for solution and completion and all that other stuff for the Spirit's. I had to surrender. I had to listen, I had to follow, I had to surrender, and I had to obey. Have you ever told someone to do something knowing that they never do what you tell them to do anyway? So you're like, "You're describing my workplace." You know, someone comes to you, and even in workplace, if someone comes to you and asks for advice, and this happens to me, "Pastor, what?" Well, and then they go and they do exactly the opposite of what I told them they need, or, you know, what I mean, they don't have to do what I tell them to do, but you ask me for advice. And, you know, after about the 12th time, I'm like, "Let's go back to number 1. Why don't you try number 1 out? And then come to me when you finally have done number 1. This is the thing. We can ask, seek, and knock all we want, but when the Holy Spirit, we continually don't do what he tells us to do, all of a sudden the next time we ask him what to do, he's quiet. He's kind of like that. He's like, "Go back to number 1 and do that one. Then come talk to me." There's other times when the Holy Spirit's quiet because he's already told you what to do. Sometimes, "God, give me your will." And he's like, "You're in it. I'm not changing the direction." Because sometimes when we say, "God, give me your will," we're like, "God, get me out of this." He's like, "No." Stay in it. I want to give you one more word. If you come to that place in your life where you're asking the Spirit and you're not hearing anything, I'm going to give you one more word. It's another word we don't like. Repent. Repent's just it's a Bible word. It's a religious, spiritual word that we use. Basically just means to turn. It just means to change, right? If I'm asking the Spirit to teach me, to lead me, and I'm continuing to go in the opposite direction of Him, that's what repent means. Because hear this, repentance reopens the voice of the Spirit. Repentance reopens the voice of the Spirit. Going to Him saying, you know, Holy Spirit, Father in heaven, Jesus, I'm sorry, I have not been listening to you. And I'm repenting of that. I want to hear you. I want to do what you say. And the Holy Spirit, I don't know, maybe you get a different vision. When we repent, I don't see God going, I want to hit you with lightning. You know what I see God doing? When we repent, I see a big smile across His face. And He's like, good. Let's get back on track. And I actually think I have a better view of what God's actually doing when we repent than that other view about His anger. Because the Bible says, there is joy in the presence of angels for one sinner that repents. And I love that because it doesn't say the angels are joyful in the presence of angels, which means our Heavenly Father is going. Tamara, would you come? I leave you with the questions that you have to kind of think about this week. How well does your focus line up with the focus of the Holy Spirit? That's really point one, right? Like, is my focus, because otherwise I'm going to be frustrated. I can be liberated or frustrated. Today I'm choosing which one. I'm going to be frustrated because I have to have my focus, or liberated because I'm willing to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Jesus, take the wheel, right? I'm going to follow your leading. What are some challenges you face in keeping step with the Spirit? Some of you face challenges. It could be work, it could be family, it could be just your, I don't want to look at anybody, this I'll look up, stubbornness. You know, it could be whatever that challenge is in you that gets in the way of being led by the Spirit. Maybe it's needing to hear His voice. I want to encourage you, if you don't know the voice of the Spirit, you need to get some quiet time, some worship time, just to be able to say, God, I'm pushing everything out so I can understand and hear you. Number three, how will you address these challenges this week? It's one thing to say, I've got this challenge, but say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to face this challenge to make sure I'm more in step? And then this last one is, which promise can give you the extra push to follow through? I gave you five promises today from that passage. Which of those can just be one of those things that just really motivates you to say, I want to be in step with the Spirit because this is the place that I'll get to walk in. Lord, I thank you today. Jesus, you could have just saved us and left us. And you could have said, well, I came, gave you the good news. See in heaven, but you didn't. You gave us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, probably one of the most controversial things in the Christian church today, and it's for good reason, because the works of the Spirit have been abused and people have misused your name. But another good reason, because of the power that is enabled to us when the Spirit comes to our lives and we can be in step with you. Jesus, today we open our lives up, not to a preacher's word, not to a denomination's belief, but we open ourselves up to God today, to your Spirit, just like the early disciples. You promised them. We open ourselves up to your Spirit. Father, have your way in our life. Jesus, send your presence into our lives. And Spirit, come into each one of us. I pray this week, as we go through this week, that there will be moments that we will need to talk to you, that you'll bring this message, these ideas back to us, that we would truly be people that would walk in the Spirit, that would keep in step with the Spirit. Today, Lord, we ask and we seek and we knock, knowing you will give us a Spirit. And we look forward to this week, to the opportunities to listen, to surrender and to obey and to follow. Thank you, Jesus. If you're today or you're online and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I never want to go a week by. This might be your week where maybe weeks upon weeks you've been thinking about this, and this week you're waiting. You're hoping that someone would ask you this. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is here to hear you. He's right where you are. If you're in a home or in a car, wherever you're at, all you need to do is say, Jesus, I receive you. I believe that you came and you died for my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive your forgiveness into me. Help me to walk with you. And if you pray that prayer, you need to find a follower of Jesus, either here or wherever you're at, to share that with, that they can come alongside and walk with you in this. We pray. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.